All right, everybody. The time is 1:20. We are back with Kate Thomas. So something that is on the minds of everybody that lives in Alaska, really, is budget concerns. You know, those are coming from the state. They're coming from the city. They can even be coming from the feds. But we're wondering, how does that impact parks and recreation? Or how could it?
It definitely could and likely will. June and I were just talking off air about the budget, and to me, it's like this dark, ominous cloud full of precipitation. You know it's going to rain, but it hasn't rained yet. And we're kind of in a holding pattern. We don't know the extent of which it's going to impact Wrangell, and in particular, how that's going to look for parks and recreation. The city's been very diligent and prudent with their money for a number of years, so we're sitting in a good position. And the swimming pool also has a reserve fund, which is unique to our operation. Mm-hmm. I think our reserves are $1.2 million currently and gaining interest over time, which is a great buffer, but that shouldn't be how we expect to operate, by dwindling that reserve fund down. So I have a lot of ideas about how we can be more efficient. We're already working towards that and have been since we started. I started 4 years ago. But really, it's going to be dependent on a active public process. Folks are going to have to come in. They're going to have to learn a little bit about how the department operates and help drive the future of parks and recreation. Our biggest expenditures, as you can imagine, are wages and benefits. Next in line would be utilities. And then lots of expenditures below that are fairly fixed. So there's not a ton of wiggle room, but I think collectively we can make some adjustments and be more efficient. My guess is that eventually we'll be asked to look at a certain percentage of reductions, 10%, 20%, whatever that may be. So definitely trying to anticipate that number and see where we can most creatively make that adjustment that has the least adverse impact to programming. I don't know. I think folks think about parks and recreation and they're like, the Wrangell swimming pool, because that's our primary facility and it's our bread and butter. But the reality is Shoemaker Bay, recreation site, RV site, tent camping site, that's parks and recreation. Petroglyph Beach is parks and recreation. The Mount Dewey Trail, Volunteer Trail, Kyle Angerman's, all the municipal green space is mowed and managed by Parks and Recreation. The Lower Cemetery, its maintenance and upkeep. Public Works has a huge hand in that as well, which is important to recognize. Those guys they do all kinds of incredible things for our community, in particular Parks and Rec. So anyhow, we just have a lot going on with very little staff capacity to manage all of those areas. And we've made some gains over the years, so that's going to help us as we go into darker days, if you will. But I'm optimistic about it, and I think with some good public process, we can come out better in the end.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, yes, the city is going to be going through this. They're going to be hurting in some ways, but it does sound like the city on a lot of different fronts does have these reserves. They have played it prudent for a while. Thankfully, Parks and Recreation has that reserve for the pool. So my understanding is your budget is going to be something that you and the city are going to work through in the next coming months.
Mm-hmm.
And probably get it finalized by the end of June or beginning of June?
Ideally, I think the word on the street is that Dunleavy's budget, I mean, there's going to be all kinds of pushback and process to defend certain areas of the cuts that are being proposed. And so I don't think this is going to be a typical year where we have the budget in full ready for approval by a certain date. I've heard talks of releasing a 4-month budget to start and then adapting to that once the state budget is finalized. So again, it's like, it's going to rain, but when is that going to happen? And what is that really going to look like?
Yeah. Exactly. What is it going to look like? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it doesn't sound like there are, help me out, that there are state funds that the governor, you know, wants to cut that are going to affect you directly. It's more that he's cutting funds to the city and the city's going to have to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. With the exception of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not guaranteed that we'll apply for that every year. We only have so many locations that we could dedicate in perpetuity forever for recreation. So I think we'll be limited in how much we can seek. But the reality is that program funded Kyle Angerman's in the sum of $72,000. And so we're going to want to continue to advocate on behalf of programs like that, that support improvements to municipal green space that across the country is experiencing deferred maintenance and adverse results because of that maintenance.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it sounds like we have a phone call.
Oh, whoa.
Kate, you brought it in.
Okay. Here we go.
So give us 1 second. Okay. Hi.
Hello? You're not coming through.
You're coming through.
Hello?
Hello?
We got you.
Oh, there you are.
There you are. What?
Okay. I have a question about your
X-Wing. Go ahead and say that again for us. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was wondering about, since the swimming pool is funded by Parks and Rec here, what are you going to do if the pool has to shut down due to the water shortage?
Okay. Kate, did you get that? I think we got it. Something about the water shortage. I mean, what happens when we have a water shortage in town?
Obviously, we'll follow the water management plan that was put out by Public Works last year or the year before. So at different stages, we have different deliverables, and I don't have all of those memorized. I'd have to look back to the management plan to tell you exactly what that looks like. We do make every effort to conserve water use and energy use within our facilities. I think folks would assume that the swimming pool is a high user of water within our community. However, the pool itself doesn't call for water on a regular basis. It only calls for water when we're doing a backwash, which is the process where we clean our filters. And so then there would be a demand for water at that time. And of course, the bather load in the domestic shower area, that would also equate to water use. Anyhow, I'm cutting in and out here just a little bit, so hopefully folks are catching. We will have to adjust to that. And the swimming pool is our highest opportunity for revenue. So if we have to shut down, we're not going to be generating a lot of revenue during that time. The pool did close for 5 months back in 2014 and 15. And so we saw a decline in revenues at that time. We'll have to get really creative about our sponsorships, about our youth programs, etc. But my hope is that because we're not the highest user of water and that the pool actually doesn't call for water on a regular basis outside of patron showers and sink usage, I don't see it happening immediately or this season.
Go ahead and say that again.
The backwash is performed once every 2 weeks.
Okay. Which is a higher priority, the swimming pool or the marina?
Or the what?
The marina.
You know, that's not a question that I can really answer. That's a question for the community. If you were to ask me, are marinas are safer if people know how to swim? And I don't think that you can put a price on a life.
Yeah, that was a good answer. All right. I think we are going to say bye to you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, understood. So yeah, that is a good good to remind people what happens when the water shortage comes, as it usually does for a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting question to bring up. Where does the importance or value lie within our community? But I think we have to remember that swimming saves lives. And if we ignore that fact, we are taking away a skill set from somebody that is pertinent to their livelihood and survival in a marine environment.
Yeah, I 100% hear you on that. Yeah, I was looking at some articles around this about how kids, don't know how to swim. And if their parents don't know how to swim, guess what? They don't teach their kids how to swim, because that's how you can die.
Right. And we have to remember that the swimming pool wasn't built until 1985 in Wrangell. So folks that were of school age before 1985 likely didn't learn how to swim, unless they were a part of Cindy Martin's swim group that met down at City Park, that got in the ocean and then got in a bonfire, or if they had, not in the bonfire, around a bonfire, or if they had a backyard, structure where they could learn how to swim. So Alaska and Florida have the highest rate of deaths per drowning in the country. And I think Alaska is probably highest because of people's limited access to learn to swim programs throughout the state. So I think we got to remember that when we talk about the importance or value of the swimming.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild. I find this really interesting.
It is. It's a fascinating fact. Speaking of which, we're starting our Learn to Swim planning and certification. So if you want to learn how to swim this summer, be it you are an adult, a teenager, child, or infant, we have opportunities for you.
Okay. Yeah, you said starting this summer.
Yes.
Okay. And before we head out, let's just give the folks a rundown of some things that are coming up. So we know Helping Our Parks. When is that?
Helping Our Parks is April 20th, so we like to schedule it right around Earth Day, and we'll be meeting at the park around 9 a.m. as a planning group and welcoming volunteers as early as 9:30.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, April 20th.
Okay, and then, Earth Day, April 20th, and you'll be hearing more from Parks and Rec, I'm sure. You'll be hearing from KSTK, so just keep looking for those reminders.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We do provide lunch for volunteers. That's always an important feature to recognize.
True. And then anything else that people need to be aware of?
Move every day, folks. Get outside, walk in your parks, smell the roses. Today's a great day to get started. It's beautiful outside. They're there for you. They were built for you. They were planned for you. They are there for you to use, as well as our swimming pool and recreation program. So move every day. That's my reminder to folks.
Cool. Okay. Today is a great day, like you said. Kate, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, June. I really appreciate your time. And I do love this show. All the diversity you've brought in over the past year is really impressive. And
thank you.
There's been some heartfelt stories, some informative stuff coming through. And I think it's a perfect show for Wrangell.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate.
Yeah, you bet.
Cool.
You bet.
Yeah, we've been doing this for about a year now, so.
Yeah, I think we were one of the first ones on
the
show.
Yes, it's right now I'm like, I'm starting to have people on that were, on last year. We're starting to get into these recurring things and
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, I love it. I love the vibe. I love the local feature, and I love KSDK. So what can I say?
Okay. Thank you, Kate. Thank you for your support, and we support the parks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:34, and we will continue with our regular